Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Whenever and wherever you're listening to this podcast, you are very welcome. Welcome to Rugby News, the podcast about our town, our people. We'll kick off with a roundup of local news, news local to rugby, with the help of the excellent local newspapers, the Rugby Observer and the Rugby Advertiser. In this week's show, podcast number 14, released on Friday the 21st of February, we hear about a unitary authority coming a step closer, the U-turn on Sunday library closure, and an arrest following the dog attack near the town centre. There's a short What's On section striving to seduce you into the town centre with a rundown of what is on offer over the next couple of weeks. Last week, I caught up with Councillor Jerry Roodhouse, leader of the Liberal Democrats on the borough and, I think, the county council, and he helped to demystify what the current business is of all these local government changes and unitary authorities. Well worth a listen if you missed it. This week, he shares with us what he can about the state of play with the long-awaited town centre regeneration project, where they are with the thinking, why it's such a challenge, and when we might get to hear some more. You'll learn something, I have no doubt. And so, without further ado, here's our news. Time marches on, and the government are expecting outline proposals from the six councils in Warwickshire, the county, our borough, and the four district councils for streamlined local government by the 21st of March. We spoke at length about this last week in podcast 13 with Councillor Jerry Roodhouse, leader of the Lib Dem group on the Borough Council, who are working closely with the largest group on the council, the Labour group, to drive things along. If you missed it, it's well worth going back to it for another listen, as Councillor Roodhouse went through the options and his reasoning, favouring a single authority for the whole Warwickshire footprint and the setting up of a town council for rugby itself. The County Council has committed to engaging with district, borough, town and parish councils and communities in developing the proposals. And at a recent meeting, County Leader Councillor Izzy Seckham said, "I'm pleased that as a council, we have had the opportunity to discuss this today and for elected members to share their views. There was a collective agreement from councillors to establish a cross-party working group, recognising the benefits of harnessing the contributions and constructive challenge that it will bring." Having reached agreement, Councillor Seckham said that the motion does not presume an outcome, but still leaned towards her preferred option of a single unitary authority across the whole of Warwickshire. "We have a submission to be made in March," she said. "At this point, I think it is likely to be an umbrella. It will be all wrapped up as Warwickshire. But there may be 1, 2, or even 3,000 pieces within it that the government will then have to evaluate because this will be their decision. The evidence is what we need to get and work on." I speak later to Councillor Jerry Roodhouse about the major project that needs to be well progressed before any of these changes take place, and that's the town centre regeneration. So, I hope you enjoy that when it comes along a little bit later on. I told you last week of the need for Warwickshire County Council to make £80 million worth of cuts to their budget over the next 5 years in their medium-term financial strategy. And to help them save costs, they had announced the closing of libraries on Sundays in Rugby, Leamington and Nuneaton. I understand that since then, over 800 people across Rugby have signed a petition against the proposed Sunday closures, supporting the view that libraries provide access to knowledge, technology, and are a safe, quiet place for study and enrichment. And closing the libraries on a Sunday would limit the availability of these essential services for everyone. Well, apparently, more accurate estimates of the future costs of public health provision and business rate income across the county mean that they don't need to cut as much as they feared. So, the Rugby Library and the others too will stay open on Sundays as planned. Other savings they'll be able to avoid having to make include the proposed cuts to services relating to domestic violence and abuse, independent sexual violence advice, and mental health prevention services. The County Council Cabinet will be asked to confirm the renewed plans at its next meeting in April. A man has been charged following last Sunday's terrifying incident in Rugby when three dogs reportedly attacked people. Police had received reports at about 5 to 4 in the afternoon that loose dogs were attacking a boy's dog in Bath Street, and that the dogs also attacked the boy and then three members of the public who bravely stepped in to assist. Police said they received puncture wounds to their hands and faces while securing one of the attacking dogs. These injuries are not being treated as life-changing. 10 dogs are believed to have been seized from a nearby house, 5 of which are believed to be American Bulldogs, 4 bull breed juveniles, and a Jack Russell. A 33-year-old man was arrested nearby, and on Monday, Jamie Hoggins, aged 33, of Baisley Way in Longford, Coventry, was charged with 2 charges of having a dog dangerously out of control causing injury, one from 2023 and one from 2025, an animal welfare offence under Section 9 of the Animal Welfare Act 2006, 2 charges of possession of an offensive weapon, and possession of a Class B drug. Warwickshire Police said Hoggins has been remanded in custody and is due to appear before Coventry magistrates today, February the 19th. All seized dogs are being cared for in police kennels and assessed for any welfare needs. You might have heard stories about increased police presence on the streets last Tuesday. Well, on the 18th, police issued a Section 60 notice in Rugby, giving officers powers to stop and search any person or vehicle to look for offensive weapons. Rugby police were using the emergency power due to concerns about people carrying weapons in the area. Chief Inspector Norton said, "We know this might be concerning, but I would like to reassure everyone this is a preemptive step we're taking to make sure our communities are safe. Your neighbourhood officers will be out in higher numbers than normal this evening, so please stop and have a chat if you're worried. They're here for you and to make sure you're all safe." The notice authorised any constable in uniform in the locality to exercise the powers under Section 60 of the Criminal Justice and Public Order Act 1994 to stop and search any pedestrian or anything carried by them for offensive weapons or dangerous instruments without good reason, or to stop and search any vehicle, its driver and any passenger for offensive weapons or dangerous instruments. Chief Inspector Norton added, "This is an emergency power that will be kept under constant review throughout the evening. The notice will be withdrawn as soon as the concerns cease. We do not believe there is any risk to the wider public." Well, I'm not aware of any incidents arising out of that, and I believe that the emergency power has indeed been withdrawn. Active travel in Warwickshire is getting a major cash boost to the tune of almost £3 million. Warwickshire County Council is receiving 2 lots of funding from the government towards its active travel schemes. The money is to be split between the delivery of existing travel schemes and the development and construction of new walking, wheeling and cycling facilities. A county spokesperson said, "As a council, we have ambitious plans to extend the reach and quality of our active travel network so it can be the go-to travel choice, particularly for short urban journeys. This ambition moves a healthy step forward thanks to this huge funding boost." Last Friday afternoon, shoppers were somewhat stunned as a car ploughed through the front window of Sainsbury's local in Hill Morton. Emergency services were called to the scene and found a driver, a woman, who was badly shaken up but not hurt in the incident. There are no reports of anyone being injured, which can only count as some sort of miracle. The vehicle, which was parked in spaces to the side of the building, smashed through a parking bollard and into and through the side window, pushing refrigerated shelving right across the first aisle. A local did say that had it happened an hour and a half later, it could have been much, much worse, as the store is often full of Ashlawn school pupils after school. I'm not going to be the first one to say this. Crashier number one, please. So that was a roundup of the local news stories about our rugby town, and I'm indebted to the excellent local newspapers, Rugby Observer and the Rugby Advertiser for all their help. And hey, for even more detail and even more news stories as they happen, go to their websites or follow them on their Facebook pages. Quick hop, skip and a jump now across all of the entertainment attractions in Rugby Town over the next couple of weeks. That's at venues that I know. Not all of the venues, because I haven't got access to a complete what's on guide across the town. Come on, somebody, get it going. So, CV22. Here we are on the 21st of February, and on Saturday the 22nd, Thea Watson is on stage at 9:30. She's the BBC introducing singer-songwriter and recording artist and 2023 runner-up in Rugby's Got Talent, and she'll be performing live, providing a perfect soundtrack to your Saturday night. And then on Sunday the 23rd, from 7 o'clock, is a super fun quiz night, and then a week later, Friday the 28th, The Mockingjays. If you've ever seen them, you'll love them. The Mockingjays, brilliant high-energy band featuring some of the finest musicians in the Midlands, funk and blues all rolled up into a wonderful offering. On Saturday 1st of March, Mark Checkley is on stage at 9:30. Roaring highs, whispered lows and moments of loop pedal madness with covers of tunes from the likes of the Eurythmics, Paul Simon, Stone Roses, Daft Punk and Fleetwood Mac. Mark Checkley on loop. And then the next day, Sunday the 2nd, rock and roll bingo. You've got to go there to find out what that means. Sounds bonkers. Right, on to the Ben Hall now. And if you're quick, because it's Friday the 21st, where just for one night only, there's a show called One Day More. And that's songs from Les Mis and the world's favourite musicals. So they're belting them out all night long at the Ben Hall tonight, if you're listening to this podcast on the day of its release. And moving into a different musical genre altogether, we have another incredible tribute act, Dan Budd as Robbie Williams. I'm looking at a photograph here, and it could as well be the real thing. And he's playing with his band, The 11th Hour. Dan gained recognition when he appeared on BBC One's Let It Shine, and even Gary Barlow couldn't believe how uncanny the resemblance was and the similarity in voice, declaring it unbelievable. Well, you get a whole evening's entertainment from 7:30 on Saturday, March the 30th at the Ben Hall. Dan Budd as Robbie Williams with his band, The 11th Hour. I'm going to take you to the Macready Theatre now and see what they've got to offer for the next couple of weeks. And again, wonderfully varied selection. Tonight is the second of two nights. This is the 21st of February. Hold on to your butts. And that is a must-see shot-for-shot parody of the greatest dinosaur film of all time. After selling out in New York and at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe, this wildly inventive tour de force of comedy, Foley sound and physical theatre is taking the UK by storm, and it's passing by rugby as we speak. 65 million years ago, dinosaurs ruled the earth. 30 years ago, a movie about dinosaurs ruled the box office. This year, you are invited to hold on to your butts. So get those tickets quickly from the Macready Theatre. Look it up online. Everything's really easy. And then next Tuesday, the 25th, we have the National Theatre in Rugby. That is National Theatre Live presenting The Importance of Being Earnest, a trivial comedy for serious people. Being sensible can be excessively boring. At least Jack thinks so. While assuming the role of dutiful guardian in the country, he lets loose in town under a false identity. Meanwhile, his friend Algie takes on a similar facade. Unfortunately, living a double life has its drawbacks, and those who are familiar with The Importance of Being Earnest will know how this wonderful romp pans out. It's a very innovative production, and it is one of National Theatre Live's great outreach shows by dint of being broadcast to all the National Theatre Live recipients across the country. Pick it up exclusively at the Macready Theatre in Rugby. It's going to be a blast. Over to Quigley's now, A Taste of Ireland in Rugby, and they focus on food, music and beer. And the pattern of their presentations week by week is Monday tends to be folk nights, Wednesdays it's a game night, Thursdays it's acoustic night, and Friday and Saturday, live music. On Saturday the 22nd of February, traditional Irish music is the main event at 9:45. Thursday, 27th of February, Duncan and Olivia at 9 o'clock. Friday, 28th of February, Omni Shambles are the main event at 9:45. And on Saturday the 1st of March, traditional Irish music. And that kicks off at 9. I hope you find something attractive from that range of offerings. And if you took advantage of my suggestions, let me know how you got on. And now, this week's deep dive interview with Councillor Jerry Rudehouse. I spoke last week to Councillor Jerry Rudehouse, councillor on the borough and the county council, about his position now as leader of the Liberal Democrat group and how, as an outcome of the inconclusive borough elections last May, where no single party came out in overall control of the council, the Lib Dems and Labour have negotiated a confidence and supply agreement, a close alliance of their voting policies, essentially agreeing to work together on shared key objectives, thus ensuring that there'd be some clear direction in the work of the Borough Council. This is facilitated by weekly meetings between Jerry and the leader of the Labour group, Michael Moran, designed to bring focus to the work and pace to get things done. In the first part of my conversation with Jerry in last week's podcast, number 13, we spoke at length about the changes to local government to unitary authorities and how they may affect us in Rugby Town. The other urgent project that the two group leaders want to get on with is the delivery of the long-awaited town centre regeneration project, which is the focus of this, the second part of our conversation. I asked Jerry about the concerns that had been expressed by several other councillors that the funds set aside for the regeneration project may disappear into county budgets in the process of abolishing the borough council and setting up the structures that will replace it. How sure is he that the funds are secure?
So I know there's been discussions with the chief executive of the existing Warwickshire County Council and the leader as well. And that's what we expect. So whatever comes forward, and I'll be saying it at a council meeting as well, we expect it to be written in blood that whatever we've started down the road on in rugby regeneration scheme for the town centre, that that is committed to. And we want to see that written in budget books and the rest of it, so it cannot be escaped from. And that's one of the things that Margaret and I are fully committed to, because we do have this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to try and, you know, regenerate what we've got within the town.
In preparation for our chat, I admitted that I downloaded from the Borough Council website the 85-page document dated November 2022 that showed a lot of work had been done in assessing the strengths and weaknesses of the town centre, as well as the opportunities and threats that any project would face. I asked if this document was the up-to-date reflection of where Jerry, Michael and the council officers had reached in their work.
No, not now it's not. Well, you'll probably notice that there is creative quarters and those sort of discussions. There's coloured blobs. The coloured blobs are probably fact, the only thing that's left standing in the document.
These coloured blobs referred to different areas or zones across the town centre that suggested to the consultants that they had separate, distinct qualities that distinguished them one from another. For instance, the station gateway, the town hall area, the old market, Rugby Central, High Street, Old Town and Corporation Street West.
So the initial work, once we'd got our agreement signed between Michael, Labour and Liberal Democrat groups, Michael and I sort of joined forces. We now meet every week and we spend time on this strategy. And sitting outside that, there'll be other meetings that we're both having, either together or separately. And there's sort of 16 work streams revolving around what they call the public realm. So that's how we improve the environment, through to the buildings around the town and what we can be doing. So there's Brotherhood House, there's the Rugby Central Shopping Centre, which of course is not owned by the council. And this is, I suppose, the important factor here is that people think that the council can do lots, but when you don't actually own the land or the property, all you can bring in is sort of the environmental health stuff, really, which doesn't always really help. So we've been speaking to the owners of the centre, digging out their plans, because they did get planning permission to build some residential units in the town centre and so on and so forth. So, and sitting alongside that, though, we know there's got to be improvements to the highway network, and also, as I say, the new taxi stand and the buses. And so there is a lot of work going on around that. Hopefully, by the end of February, we'll start moving that into what's called a planning process. And then we should be able to come out and start showing people a lot more of where we're going. I'm afraid at the moment most of it is confidential and kept behind closed doors because we're commercial sensitivity about the costs of everything. But quite clearly the company that own the owners of the Rugby Central, as people know, New Look is going, and they're making it quite clear that they'll just board it all up and shut it down. They're not interested in rugby. They're not interested in, all they're interested in is the bottom line. They've got it on the market, it's been up for sale for months, and they can't shift it. They've made it clear that if people leave and the rest of it, they're not really interested in trying to fill the shops or do the best for rugby. We've carried out, or it should be finished now, what we call a vacant shop audit. So what we've tried to do is to map every property in the town centre as to who owns it and what do they intend to do with those units. And we're now going through a process of prioritising out the worst to see what exactly those owners are planning to do. A lot of it is really quite depressing for me, because you want the best for the town, but you have these owners who really just don't give a damn, or don't seem to give a damn. Mm. And some of these people are rugby people, born and bred, who now don't live in rugby but live elsewhere, but they own properties here, and you just think, don't you care about rugby or the town, what it looks like, or want to support it? Then you just get deadly silence.
So the disinterested attitudes of many of the different building owners makes the bringing about of major change really very difficult. It has to be stimulated, nurtured and encouraged. The council's hands are therefore tied to an extent. Investing in physical changes on land that the town owns in such a way as to encourage those blobs to become more readily identified and individual, and make it easier for people visiting the town to move around from place to place.
So you can create particular elements. So if you take the old Brotherhood House, for instance.
Brotherhood House, that's the large building in the old market blob that stands next to that outdoor parking area behind the John Barford multi-storey, near to the London's Calling pub.
The guy that's got it at the moment is trying to turn it into flats and things. But the building could lend itself to, we feel, a much more attractive facility, ground floor, use for indoor pop-up stuff. and the car park and everything out at the front could be created into a much better, nicer public open space for concerts or anything of that nature. So it's actually to start thinking more around that. And you want people to walk across the town, really. So if you go down the South Mall and around, say, there, you might go down there to just do a bit of shopping. But then if you want some lunch, then they might just walk across to, say, where the Brotherhood House is, and they might be doing something there, which will do that, all down Regent Street or whatever. And of course, you've got Rugby Theatre in the locality as well, which you could link all these together.
Many of these spaces linked by interesting passages and ginnels.
Yeah, and then if we could shunt the taxis and make a bit more of a plaza approach around the clock tower, and shunt the buses around, which Stagecoach said they're willing to look at how they operate their buses. And then North Street would have much wider pavements. There's a feeling we're too car friendly as a town, so we want to try and deter that and still allow cars to come through, but actually at much, much lower speeds and also a little bit more difficult. But it's much nicer for cycling, walking. So there's quite a bit of thought going in around those elements. And then, of course, there's the planning application in for Aldi at the old cement works, and that's going through highways objections at the moment. But I would imagine Aldi will probably get planning permission for that in the end. They have changed their original design. It's not a standard Aldi that you'd see in most other parts of the country. So they have listened to what we've been saying. And then that would connect into into the North Mall and further into the town as well, which they've been listening and talking to the council about how to do that more effectively as well. So I think there's great opportunities going forward. It just depends on the pace we can make that work at. And certainly from Michael and my perspective is that that's why we meet weekly, because we want to keep a check on this and keep the pressure on the council officers to move it forward. So we expect movement each week down the particular road to get something done.
So the idea that the town centre could be reborn around big brand shopping is an impossible dream.
The likes of the big national multiples, yeah, we've been told quite clearly that they're not interested in town centres really much now. So they're only interested in Elliotsfield or shopping centre. Chocolate, is it the chain? I think they looked at Rugby Town Centre, but just told the agents, the rest of it, we don't want to be in a town centre, it's not our style. So Elliotsfield offered them a spot and they're going to go down there. So yeah, good for them. So our opportunity is around what can we do which is unique and can bring forward that uniqueness to residents, really. And I think you look at Hunt's Bookshop, for instance, the way he operates and the rest of it, I just think it's fantastic, what he does. And there's other operators in the town similar, and that's what we need to foster, and that's what we need to encourage to do that. And I think we can.
There's clearly been a lot of detailed analysis, input from experienced consultants, and recognition of what the council can actually do to wave a wand and regenerate the heart of our community, our town centre. Much of what Jerry can say right now is limited by commercial confidentiality. I understand that, but we are getting very close, I understand, to the wraps being removed and we, the public, being invited for our views, perhaps as soon as the next couple of months.
That's why I'd like to get there earlier, but I suppose I have to hedge my bets. What we need to do is to get some, what they call architect's impressions. So what it potentially would look like. And we know from day one that not everybody's going to like it. Some people are going to think it's rubbish. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that and the other. We recognise you're going to get some flack. But at the end of the day, you need to live in the real world. Those keyboard warriors are probably ordering off Amazon and all this other stuff as well. So, and then crying about the death of the Rugby Town Centre.
So big brand shopping is not the cornerstone of a regenerated Rugby Town Centre. Nowhere across the country is that happening. It's a case of finding out what is unique about our town, polishing that up, joining it together, and offering it out to our residents and visitors from further afield to come, explore and discover it for themselves in a safer, people-oriented setting. Identifying the distinct aspects of each of those blobs and strengthening those aspects so as to enhance their individual physical contribution to the overall attractiveness of the town as a whole, and linking the blobs together in ways that make it more comfortable to find your way around, drawn from one place to another, having reduced the presence and threat of through traffic, and meanwhile encouraging the individual building owners to see afresh that their buildings, their commercial assets, will benefit from the much improved settings, and so seeing that it makes commercial sense to invest in the leisure uses that will benefit from, as well as contribute towards, the regeneration of our town. Okay, we've pretty much reached the end of this podcast, and thank you so much for staying with it. I publish it once a week, every Friday morning, so if you click follow next to Rugby News, or one word, on any of the podcast platforms, you should get a notification when a new one drops, so make sure you do follow. I hope you liked what you heard, found it useful, and you want more, and if you did, others will too. So share the news and spread the word by sharing the Facebook posts and telling your friends about Rugby News, or one word. Any ideas to make it better, of course, let me know. After all, it is your town, your people. Reach me on email simon.rugby.news@gmail.com. OK, I've been Simon. Goodbye.